have a burden this morning and desire your prayers. I can deliver it as the Lord wants me to. I have a question to start with, and perhaps this is something we've all encountered, especially in this day and age with all the new electronic devices we use on a daily basis, most of us. Now, have you ever had a device, whether it be a phone, a computer, or software, that has a lot of customizing settings that you can customize and change and improve, customize it just for you? And you get it all customized and get all the settings just right, and you're using the device and it's working great. And then maybe you step away from it, come back to it later, and something happens, maybe a little glitch, something, and it goes back to the default settings. It can be pretty frustrating. And no doubt we've all had encounters like that. But the device still works. It's just not how we designed it and set it up to work properly. And so we got to spend time and recalibrate it, reprogram it, so to speak, and customize it to where hopefully the next time it won't go back to the default settings. But that is electronic devices in itself. So that gives us a good understanding of what default is. Then I want to go to another example. And this is with, these are personal examples with human beings, like you and I. These are things that humans have to deal with. And it's with feelings and emotions and experiences in life. And I'll take, for example, say you take a child that was raised in a home and had parents that, say in this case, maybe the parents quarreled and argued and fought a lot. And, you know, that child can basically learn by default how to react in those setting, in that type of setting. They can take the fight or flight type of reaction. And over time, that child can learn, say for one instance, maybe a child can develop a coping mechanism to deal with the unrest and the anger that's being expressed around them and the commotion. And so maybe they take the flight mode, like they kind of withdraw and they try to run away or get away from it and avoid, and they get quiet and hold everything in, and that's how they cope with it. And so maybe the next time they hear somewhere else, they hear an argument, disagreement, or fight, or a quarrel, or something, their default reaction is they go back to that. So it stimulated something within them that, oh, I hear that going on, or I see that going on, so I withdraw. It's more of a flight response. Well, then on the other hand, you may have a child that learns they take on more of the fight syndrome. So they hear that and, well, they want to get involved and they want to participate, or they want to see, or they want to witness, and maybe not to the extent of their parents, but yet over time it's as if they their reaction is they want to try to take control of a situation and fight the situation, the authority or whatever, and retaliation and all those things. And so maybe they go to another situation later, years down the road, and they're involved again in a situation where there's a quarrel or a disagreement, an argument or something going on, and their default reaction is to respond and to retaliate and get involved, you see. But it stimulated something within them. It's something that, it's like they went back to their default mode. And maybe they worked for years to try to overcome that and try to improve themselves, and yet they find themselves in another situation, boom, and they're right back to the default, and that's how they would react. Well, again, it's, as a child, you grow up in an environment like that, and there's all kinds of other examples, but that's just something to use this morning for the sake of our discussion. So I want to write something on the board, the title of my message this morning. So I've written on the board, acting in default. And I want to tell another story. And this is actually a scientific experiment or study that was conducted. And it was not on humans. This is on some birds. So I'll share with you this morning. what they found. And the reason for this study was, it's interesting how animals are programmed to do certain things. They will automatically, whether it's through reproduction or whether it's through, again, fight or flight, and how they maybe some nurture the young, some destroy the young, all kinds of different things, how they feed. But it's an automatic, it's a default thing that they're programmed to do. Well, a study was done on turkeys, and specifically the relationship of a mother hen turkey and her little chicks. And it's really interesting. So naturally, as the mother, she has her little chicks around her, and she hears a little cheep, cheep, cheeps of all her little babies, and the natural instinct, the default instinct is she's going to protect them, she's going to nurture them. Those are her babies, okay? And she does well at that. And anything that comes in that doesn't have a little cheep cheep, she's going to fight off, and she's going to protect her young. So that was an obvious response, a default action of the mother hen. Well, so they conducted this study, and they brought in a stuffed little, like a little ferret, like a little polecat, and they set it in there, and she fought it and destroyed it. Well, that was a foreign intruder, and it didn't have a little cheep cheep noise to it. And she's like, of course. And these little ferrets, of course, they can be vicious themselves. So she fought it off, destroyed it. Well, in this study, they actually brought the little ferret, little polecat back in, but put a device in it that had the sound of a little cheep cheep. And guess what? Her default action to that reaction was, that's a little baby. I'm going to protect it and defend it and nurture it because it has the sound, a little cheep cheep, you know. And again, this is just a bird. So there's really not, it's not a human being like you and I. She can't rationalize that. But it was just interesting how the default was, her stimuli was just to, she responded to the little cheep cheep. Okay, that's how she was, if you could say, programmed by God, and many other examples in the animal kingdom like that. But it was very interesting. And so that actually correlates to humans. Okay, but as I mentioned earlier, when you have a child that's raised a certain way, and this, they hear or see certain things, and as they get older, as an adult, and they continue to grow and develop and mature, there's certain things in their past that they may start acting in default. Maybe they've worked for years to overcome that and to be alert to things that maybe a foreign intruder, so to speak, that, oh, but yet, oh, it sounds like such and such, so I'm going to react this way. Okay? So considering all these things, I actually have a set of scriptures, and we'll come back and touch on some of this later. But I have a set of scriptures here in the book of Joshua, the 9th chapter. And this is an interesting story. Joshua, just lay a foundation for who Joshua was. He was the leader of the children of Israel. This was after Moses had died. And the children of Israel, they were led out of Egypt. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. And then Moses died. And then Joshua became the leader. And after that, they crossed the Jordan. And their first great battle was against Jericho. And the Lord gave them a marvelous, miraculous victory over Jericho and defeated them, destroyed them. Then next was the city Ai, and there's a couple of different stories with that, but ultimately Ai was destroyed as well. Well, here's where we have the setting after these marvelous victories that God had given his people through the leadership of Joshua. Joshua had an interesting encounter, and this is where the 9th chapter of Joshua comes into play here. We'll start with the 3rd verse. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. That means craftily, sneakily. They did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. and took only sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clattered upon their feet and old garments upon them. And the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. So just to summarize here what's taken place, these folks from Gibeon had fear upon them because they were thinking, you know what, we're next. Jericho and Ai were wiped out, we're next. And so they contrived a plan to preserve themselves, and they were tricky. You could say it'd be like that little stuffed ferret that had the little cheep cheep noise in it. Like, oh, we're coming in and it's innocent. We have this little noise and here it is. We've demonstrated we're poor and needy. We're from a far country. You don't even know who we are, but we know who you are. And would you make a league with us? Would you spare us and protect us, you know, and just pass on by us when you get to our country, you know? They never did confess exactly who they were yet, all right? But there was some trickery involved. And what's interesting is Joshua, it even says here, he says, and the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? So he's like, what if you are like neighbors to us? How is this going to, in other words, we'll put it this way. Joshua had been given a commandment from God. And it was given to Moses and given to Joshua, passed on down, that when you get into the land of Canaan, you destroy everyone. Every place the sole of your foot trods on, that I will give to you. And destroy him. All right? That was the commandment given Joshua. And so he's saying, well, what if you are some neighbors here and we were given orders to destroy everyone, so how do we know, you know? It's like he was questioning himself, but yet he didn't go deep enough, all right? Because he said, their response was, they said unto him, we're from a very far country, and we just want to be your servants. We've heard of the fame of all that that he'd done in Egypt. And it goes on to explain here in the next few verses. And then they get into detail. See, look, you know, we have this bread, and this is what we've been living on as we've been traveling, and we've been traveling a long time. Lie. But this was their story, all right? They were desperate, okay? Then it goes on, and in verse 14, and the men took of their victuals. So they brought some food with them. And if you think about this, this is what they did back in those days. That if you were ever able to sit down and eat with someone, all right, that meant it was as if we're on common ground here. You're not my enemy, all right? And we're going to work a deal out here. And that's exactly what Joshua and his men did. They accepted the offer. Okay, we'll make you servants. Oh, you got some food? Yep, we'll sit down and eat with you. So this is what they're doing. The men took of their victuals, and look what they did here. And ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's the sad part. So unfortunately, this is a mark upon Joshua and his life. But I'm thankful it didn't all go that way. But this is one instance when, if you could say, Joshua acted in default. It seemed the right thing to do. And we could even take this a step further. I believe Joshua was an amazing leader. And you could summarize it this way. I believe there was a side of Joshua that was compassionate. I believe he had a way of relating and connecting to his people. Okay? He was a strong leader. All right? And here are some strangers, And they're begging, just they're acknowledging God and who what God has done with them. Oh, that's impressive. Okay. And you got some food and oh, and you're poor and you're needy and you're tired and you're hungry. Okay. Well, maybe we can make a deal. So Joshua, in his default mode, he's thinking, all right, that sounds reasonable. That's common sense here. We'll help you out. And by the way, you know, our God's going to protect us. And we have a mighty army ourselves. And, you know, you guys aren't going to do anything. You see what I'm saying? So he's rationalizing all of this. And in his default mode, thinking, okay, we'll sit down and eat with you. But it says, they asked not the counsel of the mouth of the Lord. In verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. Notice that? That was not the original commandment from God. They were to go in and destroy the inhabitants of Canaan. And these were part of them. But Joshua didn't take time to inquire of the Lord. He acted in default. What seemed like was right to him. He says, he made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it goes on and explains in detail what all they did, and they made a pact with them. And later, verse 21, the princes said unto them, let them live, and let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation. So basically, they're going to be slaves. They're going to go chop firewood to, you know, supply all the woods for our fires so we can eat. And to draw water, and so we can have water to drink. So that's what they're going to be doing, these Gibeonites. But notice what happens here. It was verse 16, actually. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days, Joshua realizes, uh-oh, I've been duped. And they realize, they heard that they were actually their neighbors. Oh, these guys, these Gibeonites that tricked us, they're actually our neighbors. And Joshua's going, oh no. Well, again, verse 21, we promised we would. We're going to stick to our word. And we'll make them slaves, hewers of wood, drawers of water. In verse 22, notice what Joshua says here. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you, when you dwell among us. So Joshua's saying, how dare you lie to us? You know the simple response to that, not necessarily what they would tell him, but the simple thing would be, well, Joshua, God could have told you that. If you would have inquired of the Lord, instead of acting in default mode, and yet you slipped up there, but if you would have stopped and said, wait, guys, we've been inquiring of the Lord and asking the Lord how to bring about these other victories, and he's brought us complete victory. Why not? Let's be careful as we go about this, and let's inquire of the Lord about these Gibeonites. But he didn't do that. God would have told him, no, these are your neighbors. They're just lying to you. Don't pay attention to them. All right? But Joshua didn't do that. And he said here, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you, when you dwelt among us? Now therefore ye are cursed. Okay? And there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water of the house of my God. And they answered Joshua. You know, they were still begging for mercy. I mean, they already made the pact with them, the league with them. But yet they went a little further, and they explained, and they said, because it certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land. All the land. That's including where we live, the Gibeonites, all right? We knew that we were on your list at some point, so we're going to work in advance, all right? Seemed reasonable to them, okay? Because they wanted to be preserved. And he said, the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. So they explain in a little more detail why they did this. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do, and to do unto us. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. You know, the sad thing is, that was some land that they never conquered. God's design, his plan, was for them to conquer their land as well. So therefore, they had some territory, some resources, some land that they weren't able to have the benefits of. Yeah, they had some slaves, but they never could take that territory. And it was God's command, I want you to go destroy everyone and take the land. That was his message for them. And yet Joshua and his people, they never got it. They never took their land. They weren't able to. And it was one simple fact that Joshua did not seek the counsel of the Lord. And folks, you know, in our lives today, there's some territory that is so easy for us to act in default. And we cheat ourselves of some victories. We cheat ourselves of some territory, some spiritual growth, some things God wants to provide for us, some amazing victories, but instead we compromise for something, you know, and in default, and we're like, well, we kind of rationalize and we revert back to our old self, and we don't get the complete victory. And maybe we resort to plan B or plan C, because God still worked with Joshua. God didn't forsake him, but it wasn't his original plan, you see. And so that was, again, a mark upon Joshua's life. But there's a scripture I want to turn to read here in Psalms 118. And this is, again, a reminder. The psalmist put it well. In Psalms 118, verse 8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How true that is. And Joshua found out the hard way. And I believe he regretted it. Yes, he held to his word. But I believe every time he saw some of those Gibeonites, you know, I'm sure it was a constant reminder, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I would have sought the Lord and asked for his counsel. Put my confidence in him instead of my own thinking and the men around me. It was just like, oh, well, this just seems natural. This is just a natural reaction. In a default mode, we're going to do this. It's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Because God gave you instruction to do otherwise. You see? And you know, the same can go in our lives, our personal lives. That God may have dealt with us on something, and maybe we have started down that path, and we've had some victories. We've had some Jerichos and some AIs, and we're making progress, all right? But then we can slip up sometimes without the Lord's help. And we can act in a default mode and go, oh, well, this is really not a big deal. And we slip up. And we miss an opportunity. We miss a victory. We miss that continued growth and maturity in those areas because we went in default mode. And God would have us to seek his face. Say, Lord, what would you want me to do? You know, just think about this. What if Joshua would have sought the Lord's advice in this? There could be all kinds of thoughts about it. But God had a plan. Okay. And God would have given him detailed instructions in what to do. But instead, he went on his own accord. He put confidence in man. And it failed him. Okay. Another scripture in Proverbs 3 and 5. Familiar set of scriptures here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Like I said, Joshua slipped up there. And in this way, in this particular time, this instance, he did not seek the Lord's understanding in his way, in his will, in this situation. And it put a mark on him. And I don't think Joshua ever forgot that. But you know what's amazing about the gospel? This is a gospel of hope. This is a gospel of mercy. This is a gospel of love. Yes, Joshua had to live with that. But in God's great love and His mercy, He still worked with Joshua. He allowed him to continue to conquer after that. He didn't hold it against him and say, okay, that's it. Never again. I'm going to put someone else as leader. You're done. God didn't do that. It was a lesson for Joshua to learn. He had some more growing up to do, you see. I believe in his eagerness and his, oh, well, I have some power and some control here, and I got a soft side here. And well, I can do that. I'm powerful enough. We have a big enough army. We can handle this. And his own accord, yeah, I'll take that on. And God's saying, no, that was not for you to do, Joshua. Yes. You know, God may do that to you and I. And it would behoove us to take heed that we learn from our mistakes, that we learn from that when I go in the default mode, things don't go right, that I need to seek the Lord. Oh, Lord, I need your wisdom here. Lord, I need your strength, your understanding, because I'm going to mess things up here. And there's things I don't see and I don't understand, but Lord, you do. And Lord, you have a plan that if I follow your plan, I can conquer all those territories. It's not all at the same time. It was city by city by city. You know, that's what's amazing. God knew Joshua and his people, they couldn't come in and take on five nations at a time. But it was city by city, you see. And the same with you and I, one battle at a time. And the Lord will go with us. But the key is we have to seek His face. We have to put confidence in Him, what He can do for us. All right? And you consider Joshua. You know, his life ended in victory. He didn't let that destroy him. He could have. He could have, oh, that's terrible. Why did I do this? All right, guys, I'm done. Joshua didn't do that. Joshua, again, think of this, folks. He had confidence in his God, that God was going to work all these things out for his good. No, that scripture hadn't been written yet, all right? But God was going to work all these things together for Joshua's good. And you know how and why? It's worked for his good. It's not just for Joshua's good. He learned from it. He matured through that. But you know what? We have the blessing of learning from Joshua's mistake. That it can work for our good too. That we don't make the same mistake as Joshua. And let me tell you, folks, we are human. And we can respond to a little cheap cheap. And we take it in, and it can actually be something that can destroy us. Okay? And that's where God wants us to be. What's the scripture say? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I believe Joshua learned how to do that. And I believe God put his blessing back upon Joshua. And Joshua ended his life in victory. And you know, you and I, if we get caught in a situation and we slip up, and we act in the default mode, and we make a mess of things, God's saying, I want you to trust in me. He's not going to beat us over the head. He didn't beat Joshua over the head and say, kick him out, say, you're done. No. He said, Joshua, I still got a job for you. There's another city to be conquered. There's another nation out there. There's some more territory out there. And you know what? That's what Joshua did. He went on conquering in the name of the Lord. And you know what, folks? We can do the same. You pray for me. I'll be faithful to the Lord.